just before 2020 began, some research had been completed on fraud in the rental industry. And the numbers were shocking. In a report titled "The State of Fraud in the Rental Housing Industry" by TransUnion, they found that 80% of all property managers had been victim of renters' fraud. And now that the job economy has taken a hit as a direct result of COVID-19, the amount of renter fraud is projected to have increased exponentially. In today's podcast, we'll cover the top three methods that fraudsters use in an attempt to get into your rental, and some ideas on how you can stop it before it costs you thousands of dollars in damages. Stay tuned, and we'll get started in just a minute. Hi everybody, my name is Chris, and I want to thank you for joining us for another value-packed Tenant Cloud podcast. If you want to be a more informed, better educated, and successful landlord, then stay tuned. With over a decade of property management experience, we bring you short and sweet, bite-sized pieces of incredibly valuable property management tidbits in 15 minutes or less. So as we said in the introduction, there has been, already before 2020, there was a pretty significant percentage of renter fraud that was being carried out across the United States. And it's been shown that it's been increasing every year, but experts believe that it has now increased exponentially now that there have been approximately 40 to 45,000 people now without jobs as a direct result of COVID-19. And it's not just that, it's that people tend to take, criminals tend to take advantage of crises. And so they are using this time as an opportunity to carry out scams and fraud on innocent people who are just trying to find a place to live. And they're also using the opportunity to take advantage of landlords who are sometimes desperate or in need of finding renters to keep their occupancy rates high. And so they take advantage of all of these things. They take advantage of the crisis that's taking place and the chaos that's taking place, and they are taking advantage of it and using it to their advantage to carry out fraud. And so here are the top three ways that that is currently happening. The first method is that subleasers use stolen identities, meaning somebody will lease your rental, or they'll apply for your rental, and typically it's with a false identity, and that's pretty easy to do these days, unfortunately. And then they list the rental online as a sublease, meaning they rent from you, and then they list the rental online as a sublease. And then what they do is within that first month, and sometimes even before they've actually acquired your rental, they will list your rental online and as a sublease, saying, "Hey, I need to get somebody to sublease this. I got to move to another city or take another job or whatever." And then people will apply to them and they will pretend that they are screening them, that they're approved. They'll ask for the first month's rent up front. They'll ask for a deposit and so on and so forth. You know, all the normal stuff that you would do as a landlord, except they're not the landlord. They are somebody who leased from you fraudulently, and now they are fraudulently accepting applications and money as if they are the landlord of that rental property. And once they have done that to a number of people, usually 3, 4, 5, or however many people they can scam or fraud into doing this, they disappear with the money without a trace. And you have all these people who now believe that they had a rental and they don't have a rental, and you thought you had a renter, you don't have a renter, and it just becomes this big chaotic mess, and the person who perpetrated all of it is gone and vanished into thin air, and you were left to sort all the pieces of it. And it costs a lot in damages, and sometimes they do even worse things. Sometimes that same person may even strip the rental of anything of value and sell it. So appliances, furniture, fixtures, you name it. It's a pretty bad situation, but unfortunately it happens, and it happens a lot. So the number one way to try to prevent that is to obviously make sure that you are verifying identity, verifying income, verifying rental history or ownership history, and making sure that all of that information is up to date. And if that requires that you pick up the phone and call places, or you email places, or you ask for references, all of that information, all of those steps are good. And you definitely need to make sure that you are doing those things prior to signing a lease with an individual. The second method is they apply for your rental under a fake ID, usually, again. Sometimes in this case, they'll even apply under their own, though that's a little bit more rare. And once approved, they play the system to a T. They are very familiar. Usually these people are very familiar with eviction laws in your particular area, your particular state. And in some states, they know that it can take as much as 6 to 9 months to get a tenant out of a rental. And as you know, in many areas today, there are also eviction moratoriums in place in a lot of cities, which complicates things and extends that time frame out even more. So you can see how this would be an optimal time to commit this type of fraud on a rental, on a landlord. Worse yet, same as the first case, a lot of times these same people will strip your rental of anything of value and sell it. And because it is a lease, depending on your area, this can fall under a civil filing, not a criminal one. And because they are the legal occupant of that rental, and oftentimes the police cannot do anything about any of this stuff until you have successfully evicted and regained possession of the rental, at which time, as in the first case, the scam artist has vanished into thin air. You will never see or hear from them again. And once again, you are left holding the pieces that of all of this damage to your rental and your income and so on and so forth. And so you could see how that could be a very bad situation. So again, you want to make sure that you are screening your tenants thoroughly, verifying their identity, that it is real, asking for pay stubs, proof of income, verifying employment. All of those things are core pieces to helping you prevent yourself from becoming a victim to renter fraud. And it's important to do a screening through a company like TenantCloud, where we offer a full screening and credit check through our direct relationship with the screening agencies, such as TransUnion, who have access to all of that information and conduct these very thorough screening reports for renters. And so you'll find that inside of TenantCloud that you'll be able to complete a very thorough screening for your rental applicants. And that is one of the pieces that you want to make sure that you are doing to ensure that the tenants that you are accepting, the applicants you are accepting as tenants, are legitimate. The third method is that they create a sense of urgency. So you have an applicant and they create a sense of urgency that they need to move in immediately. And usually these stories are well-crafted and they can typically be accepted as legitimate stories. However, anytime that there is a sense of urgency created with a need to move in immediately, it should always kind of raise a little bit of a question, a little bit of a red flag. And if they're under eviction or repossession elsewhere and it's not showing up on their screening reports yet, you will not know about that. And so it's very important in this specific scenario that you do a thorough check of their rental history, getting a rental verifications, ownership verifications, making sure you do your screening request, make sure you're getting up-to-date pay stubs, make sure that the pay stub is not a fraudulent pay stub, because there are actually websites now where you can actually go and just plug in the name of some random company, could be real, could be fake, the amount of money that you want to show that you are earning. And this website, there are many of them out there actually, it will generate a pay stub that looks very real. But sometimes, a lot of times, these websites are put together pretty hastily and they don't always calculate the math correctly. And so a lot of times you can pick out discrepancies where the math just doesn't add up. So their recurring income, if they're on salary, doesn't add up to the total dollar amount, and just other weird inconsistencies on there. So it's always best to pick up the phone and call the number on the pay stub, the company that's on there, research them on Google, do whatever you need to do to make sure that it's an actual legitimate pay stub that has not been generated by one of these websites. It's very common. A lot of landlords are coming across this issue, And it's not even just when people are creating a sense of urgency to move in. It could just be a fraudulent proof of income. And the person may actually have the means with which to pay rent, but they may have recently lost their job and they might not qualify for your particular screening criteria. And so to do that, they generate fake pay stubs. And it can present an issue, obviously, shortly thereafter, after they've moved in. It could cause an issue for you. So again, this is one of those things where you just want to make sure that you are double checking everything. Make sure you're screening your tenants, getting all the required documentation, double checking that documentation, picking up the phone and calling the various places that they are presenting you with, such as their job, a prior landlord, and so on and so forth. Just to inspect to make sure that everything is on the up and up. And that is a wrap on this week's Tenant Cloud podcast. I hope that you have found value in everything that you heard, and hopefully these three things will help you to avoid becoming the victim of renter fraud. Now, these are not just the only three. These are just three of the biggest ones that are going on every day all across the United States today. So stay sharp. Keep an eye out. Make sure that you're doing adequate screening. Use Tenant Cloud to do your screenings to make sure that you're getting a thorough screening. And hopefully you are finding high quality tenants that meet the criteria for your rentals. As always, thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to this podcast. I hope that you have found value in the time that you've spent listening to it. So feel free to share this episode with any friends or colleagues or family members who you believe may benefit from the information that we've discussed about rental fraud. And you can also check out our blogs at tenantcloud.com/blog, or you can listen to this podcast on any podcast platform such as Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the Tenant Cloud YouTube channel, where you will also find full system demos, webinars, and other media content. Thanks again for listening, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time.